Would you pray with me as we reconnect and go into part three? Lord, I ask you to center us, center me in particular, as we come now to this last session, looking to be equipped that we will not be worn out, but that we will walk and worship and witness in a way that brings you glory and demonstrates your grace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. So, by way of review, we've looked at running hard and running away. Let's now take a look at part three, running home. We'll go from chapter 7 through chapter 11, looking at this glorious demonstration of grace, albeit, now get ready for this, grace coming in shapes and sizes that you might not naturally call grace. But my prayer is, again, God and his word will reshape our expectations and our understanding of things. So, running home, leaving Ziklag and running home. Chapter 7, the grace of crisis. Hear that. The grace of crisis. Hebrews 12:11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Friends, it's time to go home. And the way home oftentimes will come through the grace of a crisis. Moore says, there will come a time when God jolts you back into reality, often with a crisis of grace. I have learned, says Moore, sometimes the hard way, I can echo that, that God will only allow his children to run away so far for so long. Amen. That's what we see in David's life. As we continue this account with David, we see that there comes a time when everything he knows, everything he's invested in Ziklag goes up in smoke. Praise God for up in smoke. Moore says, settling in Ziklag always comes at a cost. Don't miss this. It's not just what you've left behind, but there will be a day of reckoning. There will be a time when the cost will become clear. You see, and here's a nuance. Moore points out that David didn't hate God when he lived in Ziklag. He just forgot God. He put God to the back. You see, every once in a while when that happens, God will bring a crisis to us that will become unbearable. He'll break us with grace. The waves of sorrow and anger sparked a desire for revenge so strong in David's men that at one point when this breaking came, David's men contemplated stoning him to death. Now imagine again, David's life, it seems like there's no bottom as this thing keeps getting worse and worse and worse. The breaking process, I've described it in my life as the Lord taking me from big, proud boulders to stones, to rocks, to gravel, to sand, to dust. He loved me enough to grind me down to baby powder because that's what it took. I was resisting. And that's the beauty of it. It's been said you can surrender easy or you can surrender hard. But if the Lord has you on the family and you're going to be his, you're going to be his. The question is, how much of a crisis is it going to take to bring you back to Christ? We pray for those we love that the Lord will come and they'll surrender easy. But make no mistake, I'd rather see you surrender hard than not surrender at all. When you run to Ziklag, God will, in his way and timing, get your attention. It's just a matter of time. He may use a crisis as his gracious way of bringing you back home. That often is the case. Although it may not feel like it at the time, the crisis is an act of God's grace upon you. You see, crisis can come in a variety of ways. But one phrase sums it up. In the Bible, it's the Lord's discipline. When the Lord's discipline comes, that's grace. God loves his children too much to allow them to live in Ziklag too long, Moore tells us. Read Hebrews 12, 7 through 11 for a fresh reminder. See, he who began a good work in us, says Philippians 1, 6, he's promised to carry it out to completion, praise God. Now, if you think about the parable of the prodigal son, the parable that Ron Moore likes to think of more as the prodigal of the gracious dad, you see this truth. There is a time where there will be a homecoming for the true child of God. True child of God. And there's a gracious crisis that happens. That we see that alone and broken, in this case, David found that when God is all you have, praise God, God is all you need. You see, what had happened was David was going to war, and the Philistines were going to fight the Israelites. And as God would have it, he intervened. It appears that David was willing to go and fight against his brothers. But God supernaturally intervened, and that opportunity was taken away from David. And so he and his men go back home to Ziklag, somewhat frustrated that they couldn't go fight, only to find that the Amalekites have really plundered everything. Ziklag was now in ruins, and their family and everything they owned had been taken. It says literally that David and his men wept all day long. Really tragic. I pray to God that you'll turn before tragedy turns you. Even though we have pain, David shows us that we can declare praises to our Lord when we turn to him and realize that even the tragedies are used of God. Romans 8:28, there isn't anything that he isn't using for the ultimate good, whether we can see it or understand it or not. When God is all you have, God is all you need. Well, like the father in the prodigal son story, the Lord's ready to forgive and restore anybody that really wants to come home. When you really want to come home, he's ready to forgive and to restore. Moore says, for you, for me, for our friends, it's time. It's time to come home. It's time to come home. God and his strength have been given as provision so that you and I will have whatever we need to get home. A couple of thoughts. Satan cannot lead us to hate God, but he can help us to forget about God. If you love the Lord, Satan can't make you hate him. But let me tell you, he's very good at getting you to forget about him, as is your flesh, as is the world. Sermons 2 weeks ago. Personally, describe a time. Think about it. Describe a time when God used a crisis to get your attention. One of the hardest and best moments in my life, two I think of directly, came during the heat of the most difficult crises I had ever known in my life up to that point. They became redefining come to Jesus times. One was as my materialistic world was crumbling, and God was in the process of taking me from boulders to powder. And the second was when our youngest son, Gideon, had a stroke. And I had to stand over an incubator in Children's Hospital in Washington, D.C., in the midst of what felt like a dungeon. And I had to decide whether or not I trusted the goodness and the greatness of my God or not. And after 36 hours of having not, 36 hours in Ziklag, praise God, he came and got me and he brought me home. And Kim as well. As we stood over little Gideon in the incubator and said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. You were named months ago. The Lord knew we would be here at this time. I didn't. And he is with you. And no matter what, he is good. Friends, if you haven't had those times, you're at high risk of drifting to Ziklag. Praise God when he uses the refining fire of crisis as an instrument of grace.